The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, you're back after a week away. Where'd you go?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Nowhere. I was in the bathroom. No one ever told me we were starting.
What, you got no speaker hookup in there?
No, I don't. I actually did go away. I went to both Carolinas, north and south, and had a wonderful time. First time I've been away from my house in over a year. You don't know what that feeling's like because you're away from your house all the time. Welcome to PTI, baby. I'm back. In today's episode, the Nets land LaMarcus Aldridge, the Lakers get Andre Drummond, and both Baylor teams play for their final fours tonight. But we begin today with the NCAA tournament. UCLA had perhaps the most thrilling win over the weekend, beating Alabama in overtime after Alabama tied the game in regulation at the buzzer. UCLA joins USC and Oregon State as three Pac-12 teams in the last eight. Michigan looked really good destroying Florida State, but the lead dog is still Gonzaga. Wilbon, did you see the case getting stronger or weaker for Gonzaga through the first three rounds?
Tony, I'm going to go a little Chris Rock on you here to start the show. I'm not giving out a whole bunch of credit for doing what you're supposed to do, all right? Gonzaga, number one team overall, number one seed, they're supposed to beat number 16 Norfolk State, and they did by 33. They're supposed to beat an 8 seed Oklahoma, and they did by 16. And they're supposed to beat a completely overseeded Creighton team, a 5th seed, by 18. They're supposed to beat them. The great teams, when you go back to the undefeated Indiana team of Bob Knight and Quinn Buckner and all those guys, you don't judge them by what they do in the round of 16. You judge them by what's coming next when you play the big boys. So there is nothing to do but, you know, a pat on the back for Gonzaga. And now we'll see whether they're ready to just knock out the big boys and become the first team in 45 years to go undefeated through the entire season and win the championship. But I'm not about to crown them off beating those three. That's what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I'm going to take another tack here. I'm going to talk first about the Pac-12. I was dead wrong on the Pac-12, as were about 100 million other people. Yeah. You know, just absolutely wrong, including the seeding committee. I mean, if you look now, that's the error of the seeding committee, because in the last eight, you've got three ones, you've got a two and a three. So you've got chalk except for the Pac-12 teams. And they were seeded, the ones who were in, 6, 11, and 12. So everybody got that wrong. I want to go to Michigan as well, because I thought Michigan looked great against a good Florida State team. Michigan, and I find this hard to believe. I know you pay more attention than I because it's a Big Ten team. But Livers goes out, and it doesn't even look like they miss him. They remind me, Mike, of the Miami Heat from the playoffs last year in that everyone knows what he is supposed to do. And no one does too much, and no one does too little. They're very patient. They get shots really late in the clock, and they look good. As for Gonzaga, I agree with you. This is what they are supposed to do, but they're rolling. And, Mike, Jalen Suggs gets the ball to people so wide open in the paint.
He's so good.
So wide open. So often. So often. They don't take any bad shots. Now, can Michigan beat them? Maybe. Can Baylor beat them? Maybe. Can USC beat them? Maybe. But they're shooting 55%, and they appear to be the best team now, right?
Yes. Let me put an exclamation point on what you said about Michigan. All those things that you credited them with, you were 100% accurate on that. It all leads back to the coach, Juwan Howard, who is terrific at this, okay? I mean, Juwan put in some time on the bench learning how to coach, learning how to run a team, learning how to inspire, learning how to lead, and he's doing it. And you're right, Tony, about everything you said about Michigan. But it's going to be hard for any of them to get past Gonzaga if they keep going the way they're going. Both the Baylor men and women can make their final fours tonight, respectively. The men beat Villanova Saturday and now face an Arkansas team that edged Oral Roberts. And the Lady Bears, still the de facto champs, since their 2019 title, face a one seed in UConn that beat Iowa Saturday and has lost just one time all season. Tone, do you see both Baylor squads advancing?
I don't. I never, ever, ever bet against UConn in the women's tournament. And I know how good Baylor is. And I know, as you said, they're the reigning champions. They're a two seed. I don't even know why they're a two seed. They seem to me to be a one seed every single year. Every single year. But what UConn has done already is go to 12 straight Final Fours. This would be 13, which is why I'm not betting against them, because of that history. Think about that for a second. 13 straight Final Fours. John Wooden, greatest coach of all time, went to 9 and retired. I mean, 13 is unbelievable. In the other, in terms of the men, though, I do expect the Baylor men to win. I think they played Arkansas for a billion years in the Southwest
Conference. The old Southwest Conference,
a long time ago. Yeah, and they were football schools then, and I think I'm right about this, that Nolan Richardson got Arkansas to be a basketball school long before Baylor was a basketball school. But I'll pick Baylor in that one. Yes, I will.
Tony, going against Gino Auriemma, betting against him, it's like betting against Tom Brady. I mean, just dumb. I mean, I understand that that these schools, these teams are very much equals or awfully close to it. But you look at this, and I'm sure Gino, you know, the time he had to be out had to just be annoyed as hell, even though his team played so well with him pulling the strings from elsewhere, from home. But I can't go against Gino Auriemma, and I know it's a freshman. He's got Paige Beckers. He has great players all the time, and he's great all the time. And so that's that. It is interesting about the Southwest Conference, because don't forget, Tony, the Houston Cougars, right, of Guy V. Lewis and Clyde Drexler and Larry Meshaw and all those guys. They were all, I'm sorry, Akeem Olajuwon, you know, they were in the Southwest Conference as well. And I like you. Look, you got to be, if you're 30 years old or under, you don't even know what the Southwest Conference is. You have no idea.
That's right.
It's been gone.
That's
first, they were probationed out of existence, all those schools, right? And then, you know, they just sort of went away and they got absorbed by other places, the Big 12 and the SEC. But it is kind of cool for us old codgers to see three Southwest Conference teams in there.
Yeah, so I would add this about Arkansas. They've been living right on the edge, right? They won their last two games by 2 points. They beat Texas Tech when Texas Tech had two layups at the rim in the last two possessions and missed them. They beat Oral Roberts when the shot to beat them was in the air and it hit the rim. So I'm more impressed with Baylor than I thought I was going to be, Mike. They've got
four or five.
They've got experience. They've got juniors and seniors, which is the old way that everybody won this thing. They got four or five guys who can take you to the rim every single time. So I would be real surprised if Baylor loses this game.
I got them advancing. Yep.
Yeah. Over the weekend, two former All-Stars were bought out and then signed by contending teams. LaMarcus Aldridge, who was left on the bench to rot by San Antonio for almost a month, signed with the Nets. Andre Drummond, who was dealt a similar hand by Cleveland for close to 2 months, was signed by the Lakers. Wilbon, which is the bigger deal?
Drummond. It's not even close. And I like LaMarcus Aldridge for a long time, but Tony, the Nets have enough. They got whatever they need. LaMarcus Aldridge is not going to tip the balance for the Nets. They're just not. James Harden is the MVP, and by the time Kevin Durant hopefully
Thank
gets
you.
Back out there, you had
Believe
this early, I had early. I was still holding off for LeBron, just
Wow.
Don't make it sound like LeBron is suddenly, you know, mincemeat, okay?
Let's
not
great.
Get so carried away.
But I agree.
But James Harden, you know, I want to see it.
Yeah.
All right, so, Tony, now you put Drummond in there, who's a top 10 rebounder, let's see, not just this year, not just in the teens and the 20s, of all time in the NBA, Drummond, all right? And you have an imposing front line of LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and Drummond when they're out there. That's going to be hard to play against. And LeBron, if it calls for LeBron to change gears and play differently, an entirely different style because Drummond has joined the team, that's what he'll do. And Drummond will find
that's
himself
right.
throwing down lob passes from LeBron James, just like every other big guy who's ever played with LeBron. So this is a big deal. It puts the Lakers, if AD and LeBron are healthy, back in the driver's seat in the West as far as I'm concerned, and LaMarcus Aldridge may marginally help, you know, unless it's an injury, he may marginally help the Brooklyn team, but it's Drummond.
So I agree with you about Drummond, who can't shoot a lick, but who is a great defender and rebounder. And if he just listens to LeBron, his career will be completely revitalized like so many others have. And also because I don't trust the health of Anthony Davis over a long period of time. I don't. So let me get to where my concerns are. My concerns are with the Nets. Is it possible they have too many great players, too many great stars, that the egos won't balance out, that it puts so much, because you've added Blake Griffin also, that your top three guys are playing together for the first time ever, and Durant's not even playing. They're 16-3 in the last 19 games without Durant, so he's got to be worked back in. And Griffin, and Aldridge, and the pressure that's puts on a first-year coach, Steve Nash, is enormous. It feels, Mike, it feels greedy to me and dicey to me because at some point Kyrie Irving is going to lob a Molotov cocktail into the machinery, and then what happens? Then what happens?
That's the question. And today on this network, Richard Jefferson and Matt Barnes gave great voice, and they, the way they questioned this and talked about how it happens or doesn't happen over history. The word is chemistry. Can you develop it in time? Yep. Can you develop it with all these guys? It's a question. Nobody has the answer, but it's a legitimate question. Chemistry. You can't forget about it. You can't just list guys on a sheet of paper and say, hand them the title. Those guys both played on championship teams where you had to develop chemistry, and it happens over a period of months. They're only going to have weeks. So it's worth it. It's part of the intrigue of the Brooklyn Nets. They have all this unbelievable talent. Will it work?
That's right. Yeah, that, you know, Lakers had it once when they added Karl Malone and Gary Payton. Didn't work.
Yep.
Doesn't always work. Let's take a break. Coming up, can Mike Woodson return Indiana basketball to glory?
And are five overtime periods, too many overtime periods for college hockey? I think there are too many overtimes for anything.
The talent on the Nets is astonishing. But will it work?
Will it work?
I don't know. It's working now before these guys. So, I don't know.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code PTI. That's code PTI. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's mail time. You write to us. We correct your terrible grammar and your filthy language. And then we answer. And so let me see what's first. All right, Wilbon, do you expect the combination of Mike Woodson and Thad Matta to bring back Indiana basketball?
Okay, it's nice to have Thad Matta. That's nice. Mike Woodson, that gentleman on your screen now. Mike Woodson, you know, sadly, the analytics sycophants moved people ahead of Woody, and they shouldn't have. The last time the New York Knicks were any damn good, it wasn't Tibbs who got them there. It was Mike Woodson in 2013. The only time that team advanced in the playoffs in 20 years, right? He coached 680 NBA games, Mike Woodson. That he got the Knicks to advance with Carmelo Anthony in the playoffs. He's an Indiana guy. He is a Hoosier in terms of college basketball through and through. This is a better hire than IU probably deserves. I'm thrilled for Woody, who is deserving and then some.
Yeah, I mean, everything is going to be compared to Juwan Howard moving from the NBA to college. The difference is that Woodson, as you're alluding to, doesn't need any training wheels. He wasn't an assistant all his time. He was a head coach. He knows what he's doing. Okay, he knows what he's doing. I like the hire, and I'll tell you, if I'm Indiana, I'm looking at this tournament right now. which is essentially an homage to Indiana basketball, and I'm not in it, and it's killing me. So I'm going back to the Bobby Knight era. You know, Tom Crean didn't play for Bobby Knight. Archie Miller didn't play for Bobby Knight. You know, Mike Woodson played for Bobby Knight.
He's so, walking through that door. Good.
I like the hire. I do. Yeah, I like the hire.
One. Good for Woody. Glad to hear it.
Is five overtimes too many overtimes for a college hockey game?
Yes. Yes. I mean, this is preposterous, Tony. I mean, you get to the point where there's no particular return on this. I don't want to watch this. You and I had this occasion happen with the Capitals and the Islanders 40 million years ago, and we got tired of it. And it looked like the players got tired of it. You don't need this marathon. You got to come up with a better way to decide this that benefits both the patrons, and that's secondary, and the players. I mean, what are you asking of them? What is the test here? So, yes, this is too much at any level. Professional, college, you know, the version of Sandlot for hockey, it's too much.
So here is a genuine disagreement because it was 2 hours and 42 minutes of hockey, and these are college kids, and they've got stamina. The whole thing took 6 hours, but only... Look, this was the game to get into the Frozen Four. This is a playoff game, a tournament game. In the regular season, sure, but not for this. You can shorten the amount of overtime minutes. You can take players off the ice if you want. But I don't want a shootout. I've seen the Olympics end in a shootout, and it doesn't work. It's a subversion of what the game is supposed to be about. And I think if you polled the people at Minnesota Duluth and North Dakota, they would tell you they'd rather play all the way to the end than cut it off. I think so. Enough email.
You know, Tony.
Let's take one last break.
Wait. I got to say one quick thing. We rip every sport for its inadequacies. This is one for hockey. This is an inadequacy. They need to rethink it and come up with something better.
And as I was so rudely interrupted when I was saying, but still to come, how upset should fans really be that the men's U.S. soccer team won't be in the Olympics?
You're kidding, right? Is new arrival Aaron Gordon right to see no limits for the Denver Nuggets?
I want a real goal to end it, Mike. A real goal, even if I'm sleeping.
Tony, not
even
five
if I want to go to sleep.
Five. You hated the
swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Happy time, people. Happy 66th birthday, Earl Campbell, the great bruising running back from Tyler, Texas. Campbell played for the University of Texas and the Houston Oilers, so he got to play most of his career in front of home fans. Campbell won the Heisman in Texas, and the next season was Rookie of the Year with the Oilers. Ultimately, though Campbell never got to the Super Bowl, he was the NFL Player of the Year three times and the NFL Rushing Leader three times. He is in both the College and Pro Football Hall of Fame, and his number was retired by both UT and Tennessee, where the Oilers relocated in 1997.
Tony, one of the guys he ran over in that clip, 58 on the Rams, I think that was Isaiah Robertson. I mean, these are big, strong, hulking men, and Earl Campbell put them on their behinds. He played a position that no longer exists in the NFL, as far as I'm concerned, fullback. What does that say? A fullback was important. I don't care if we ever, never won a game. He exemplified greatness.
Happy anniversary, Ty Domi. And let me add parenthetically, a not so happy anniversary to this belligerent Flyers fan who, 20 years ago today, was exchanging unpleasantries with a Toronto tough guy when he fell through the plexiglass and into the penalty box where Domi resided. The fan kept jawing at Domi and then got physical with linesman Kevin Collins, who was there to keep the peace. As you can see, Domi got in some shots. Now, why would anyone fight Ty Domi? That's what Domi did for a living. Domi has the most fighting majors in NHL history, 333.
I'm of two minds about this video and that story, Tony. One is that it's funny. It's Ty Domi and he's hitting some dope. On the other hand, if that had happened in the NBA, the shut up and dribble police would try to ban the sport forever. So these things are treated differently by different people.
A melancholy trails to Howard Schnellenberger. Schnellenberger, who won the national championship at the University of Miami in 1983 with redshirt freshman Bernie Kosar at quarterback, died over the weekend at 87. Schnellenberger rescued the U from obscurity and built it into one of the storied powers in college football. Schnellenberger cut a bold and intriguing figure with that bushy mustache, his sharp suits, and his trademark pipe. His championship came at the expense of unbeaten and top-ranked Nebraska 31-30 as Nebraska failed on a last-minute two-point conversion try. Schnellenberger was an itinerant coach in college and the pros, never staying anywhere long. He coached under such legends as Bear Bryant at Alabama, Don Shula at the Dolphins, and George Allen at the Rams. He himself was head coach of the Baltimore Colts, Oklahoma, Louisville, and Florida Atlantic University, where he literally created that program. Perhaps Schnellenberger's most enviable accomplishment was going 6-0 in bowl games, Mike. 6-0.
Tony, you know, except for the great Eddie Pope, who worked in Miami and defined Miami sports writing, the iconic sports writers of the day, they didn't want to hear about Schnellenberger and the U and this band of, you know, sort of rebels that was coming in to sort of knock the blue bloods off at Notre Dame and USC and Texas and wherever else. And I was one of those guys who loved cutting my teeth on college football because I was sent there. You were early on. You liked the U early on. You were one of the few. And I was down there all the time. And it was a bunch of young sports writers who were like, whoa, what a great story this is, and what a great story he is. He took us to lunch. We got to sit around and watch him invent the University of Miami as we know it.
Yeah, he should be in the College Football Hall of Fame. He should.
Absolutely.
Let's go to the big finish.
No question.
Aaron Gordon says he sees no limits for the Nuggets after their win last night over the Hawks. Do you agree?
Tony, he, in a very nuanced way, sort of talked about all the good points of that team now and what they have. Maybe some limits, but they could really challenge anybody in the West now, anybody. The U.S. men's soccer team failed to qualify for the Olympics with a 2-1 loss to Honduras. Is that a big deal?
We didn't send our best players to this. If you want to be in the Olympics, you got to find your best players and send them to qualifying games. I don't want to hear about this. Penny Hardaway's Memphis team won the NIT title. Are you impressed?
Yes. Penny said, quote, it's just a start, quote, and it looks like a first step, Tony, on the way to something that could be bigger in that other championship tournament in the future, like next year. Sabres' winless streak is now at 17. Will they beat the Flyers tonight?
No, they've already fired one coach. This guy is the next guy up, next guy to go. Last one, Victor Oladipo will not make his Heat debut because of a head cold. Are you disappointed?
I like Victor Oladipo. I want to see him in that uniform soon. They need him because the Heat have lost 6 in a row. Wrong time to be going south right now.
Out of time. Try to do better the next time. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, your SportsCenter.
Bill Donnelly, shout out.